Thank you so much, Kelly, for that reading. Please, we have got some handouts which are going around. Thank you to Daphne and to Tommy and to John, I think, who are doing that. I hope I've done enough this time. I wasn't quite sure how many to do. It's not always easy to work out because obviously not everyone stays in for the service. It might be easier if you're able to share initially, to share with whoever you're sitting next to is somebody who lives in the same house as you. Why not share? Because then you only need one for the house rather than two, and then we'll definitely have enough, I should think. The reason I'm doing the handouts is because we are jumping around so much, it is easier, I think, to have the Proverbs in front of you that we're going to be talking about, rather than me having to make you jump around in the Bible and waiting for you to rustle through the pages. Let me pray for us. Lord, we do give you thanks for the Proverbs. And we pray for this theme that we're going to consider this morning of friendship, that you would help us to understand, Lord. Help us to understand what this great gift of friendship is all about, how we can be better able to make friends, and how we can be better friends. Help us, Father, in the power of the Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island. So sang Paul Simon in the 60s. Of course, there were various reasons why he would have used those words. But of course, if that's actually our opinion, that we're a rock, we're an island, I have no need of friendship. Well, I hope this morning will be a bit of a challenge to us as we look at what God says about friendship. It is interesting if you follow films to notice that in the majority, the overwhelming majority of films center on the romantic relationship. They may have friendship in them, and often they do, but the heart of the film is often the romantic relationship. One of the films that has been most popular over the last 15 years stood out because it didn't do that. The Lord of the Rings actually put friendship at the heart rather than the romantic relationship, but that was unusual. Another film, Frozen, children's film, was unusual because it put the sisters' relationship rather than the romantic relationship at the heart of the film. Because our culture believes that satisfaction is found only in the romantic relationship. That's what it really focuses on. And that's why life is such a nightmare for so many people. Because there's very little room for serious thought, serious consideration, serious respect for the gift of friendship. We are going to cover the importance of the family at some point in this series. But can I just say that I believe our culture and often the church makes an idol out of the nuclear family, as if that's what life is all about. That's the ultimate reality, the nuclear family, when actually the Bible wants to say more than that. It wants to uphold the importance of the nuclear family. Of course, I'm not undermining that. But that is not the only thing, and it's not the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is relationship with Christ, of course. And the nuclear family is not the only thing. Friendship is very important. If we want to grow as Christians, then we must grow in this gift of friendship. As I've been preparing this sermon, God has really, he reminded me so much this week of how much he has done in my life through my friends. In fact, one point in my preparation, I was overcome by it as I just looked back over my life and thought, man, I would not be able to carry on this Christian life. I would never have got to where I am today at all without the many friends God has richly, in his grace, given to me and how he has used them over the years. If you are not growing in this discipline and privilege of the gift of friendship, then I urgently plead with you as we consider these texts from Proverbs this morning to ask God to help you. It is so important. In your Christian life, you will never grow to where God wants you to grow without friends, without friendship. So what is a friend? I hope you've got the handout. What is a friend and why should we want them? What is a friend and why should we want them? There's a book, wasn't there, How to Make Friends and Influence People. So it's almost like there's a purpose in making friendship, so that I can influence people. Well, I'm not going to argue that for sure, but what is friendship and why should we want friends? The Hebrew word for friend, there are a few actually, but the main one is this word rea in Hebrew. And it's interesting, I'm mentioning that only because what is interesting about that word is the word is translated both neighbor, or what is meant there is acquaintance, those people that you just live near that aren't your family, or those people at work, or whatever it might be, those people in church, neighbor, and then of course the word also means friend. But it's the same Hebrew word, and only the context will tell you whether it's neighbor or friend that is most appropriate. What is the point there? The point is our friends are a special category of our acquaintances. Our friends are made up of our acquaintances, but they are not the same thing. You know, having many acquaintances can actually deceive you into believing you have many friends. But it is not the same thing. Friendship and acquaintance are not the same thing. As it says in Proverbs 18:24, the first proverb there in italics, a man of many companions may come to ruin. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Friendship is much deeper than being an acquaintance. You can have tons of acquaintances and actually, they're not actually going to help you when the real test comes. But there's a friend sticks closer than a brother. The reason we want friends, or we should want friends, the reason we need friends is because we need them to grow to maturity. Our acquaintances will not be able to do that. It's interesting that the Bible cautions 12:26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Don't just say all these acquaintances around me are my friends. That's nonsense. Friendship is a category of acquaintances, and you should be cautious in working out who your real friends are. Not just go, everyone's my friend, I'm a friend of everyone, all these people. No. That means you've not actually got any friends. Friendship is a category of acquaintances that you must be cautious in determining who your real friends are. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A few years ago, I bought this for Helen for Christmas. She wasn't impressed. I was impressed because I thought it was cool. That's why I bought it for her. So it's one of those gifts that you give because you want it, and the person who lives in your house, whatever they have, is also yours. It's a great way of getting stuff for yourself. I'm not actually recommending doing that. This is a sharpener. It has a lifetime guarantee, and I thought, brilliant, and everyone said it's excellent, so I bought it. You get your knife and you sharpen it. And what I discovered after buying it was that most of our knives were totally useless because we didn't have it before. And as soon as you use this thing, it's like, wow, it makes such a difference. You need your friends to sharpen you in your character, in your growth. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what your friends should be doing. That's what my friends should be doing. That's what I should be doing for my friends. Is helping them to become sharp rather than blunt. What is the good of a blunt knife? Nothing, it's damn irritating. But a sharp knife does the job. It bears fruit, it is useful. Friendship is how we become useful in the kingdom of God, or one of the ways. We are sharpened by each other, by our friends. That is what a friend is. And that is why we should want them. We should want to do that for others, help them grow. We should want other people to do it for us, help us grow. That is what real friendship is all about. Now, before I go on to say more about how we can be good friends to each other, I want to start by point two on the handout, talking about some barriers to forming friendship. I hope I'll be gentle here. We've all got these issues. Every one of us are fallen. We all carry all these kind of issues. But there are some things that will stop people going from acquaintances to friends. There are some things that will mean that you have loads of acquaintances and you find it very hard to actually have any friends. And sometimes, not always, sometimes of course we might want to blame everyone else, but sometimes we have to look at ourselves and go, actually, am I doing some of these things that are stopping friendships from forming? Maybe I've actually got some things I need to pray over in my own personality that are the reason why I'm finding actually, when I look at it, I think I've a load of acquaintances, but hardly any friends. So here are some barriers to forming friendships. Number one, family ties. Now that is going to surprise you, I'm sure, but I'm going to speak it because it's true. Jesus said a lot about this subject of the family. When they came to Jesus and said to him, your mother and brothers are outside, he said, who are my mother and brothers? And then he pointed at the disciples and said, here are my mother and brothers, those who do the will of my Father. Jesus never allowed family ties to dominate his life. Of course he had respect for his mum, shown a really good example on the cross, and when he was 12, he had respect for his earthly family, but he never allowed family ties to dominate his life. And if you do that, it will become a barrier to friendship. Chapter 27:10, do not forsake your friend. Why might we be tempted to forsake our friend? Do not forsake your friend. There's something going on there that means that we might be tempted to forsake friendship. What is it? Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. It's the family. That's what it's saying. Your family will tempt you to forsake your friends because you will always rely on them. Family is one, when we say, I will only ever rely on my family, that's all I need, family, then friendship is the cost. And the proverb is saying, don't do it. Go to your friends. Better a friend nearby than a neighbor, a brother far away. Now, of course, let me just say that the Proverbs, as we did in the introduction, they balance themselves out. So don't, that's not the only saying about friendship and family, because the next one says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. So of course there are times when in adversity we need our family. That's right, that's what that second proverb says. But notice that second proverb, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I actually think they mistranslate it. It should be, because the Hebrew word is the same, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity, because the contrast is between friend and brother, and between at all times and in adversity. In other words, your friends are for all times. Your brother is born for adversity. There's something deeper and more profound about friendship. But if you tell yourself, no, Tom, all I need is my nuclear family, the one that I grew up with, I will only turn to them all the time whenever I'm in danger, disaster, or any kind of trial, then the cost will be friendship. You will never know what it means, a friend loves at all times, because you will only ever be relying on your earthly family. That's one of the ways we lose friendship, by over-focusing on our families. I know that's a challenge because it's most people in church never say that, in my experience. As I said at the beginning, I think the nuclear family is held up as almost idolatrous terms. And we never even speak about friendship, just like the world doesn't. Just have the romantic relationship at the heart all the time. But in reality, God has shown me, and I think the scripture shows us, that if you don't develop good friendships, you'll never grow to maturity in Christ. As I look back over my relationship, over my Christian journey, my mum is very important in that Christian journey, a wonderful prayer for me. But I would never have grown as I have grown without the friends that God put around me. They have been ultimately more important in shaping my character. As a child, your parents are the most important influence on you. But as an adult, it will be your friends. You can't choose your family, but you do choose your friends. And they will say more about your character than anything else as an adult. The second barrier to forming friendships is bad attitudes. Now, there are loads of proverbs there under that category. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor. He who despises his neighbor sins. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause or use your lips to deceive. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Happens all the time, doesn't it? People use the idea of joking as an excuse for their sin, as an excuse for their bad behavior. But all of those, and then the last one, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. What they're saying to you is you will never make deep friendships if you are someone who is happy to deride people, to despise people, to try and destroy people, obviously, or to gossip about people. Look, if I'm harboring pride, if there are certain people, for whatever reason it might be, that I look down on, there's a group of people, for whatever reason it might be, I've got no time for, well, A, that's going to mean there's a whole set of people that you can't make friendships with, so you've automatically lost your pool of friends. And B, it means that the sorts of people who will be friends with you are those who are happy with that sort of thing. In other words, you are only going to make friends with other proud people, other people who despise other people. Those will be your friends. Because I tell you, the people you really want to be friends with, when you start using derogatory language about people, they'll run a mile. They're not going to want to be around people who are racist or gossips, who are proud, who look down on people. The sorts of friends you really want to make are not going to be around that sort of thing. And so the only friends you will make are those who are arrogant, like yourself, if that's what you're doing. Gossip separates close friends. It's a barrier to friendship. If you're gossiping, I tell you, the cost will be, you know, when in the office, someone goes out the room and then everyone talks about them behind their back. That must happen to some of you in the office. Does it not cross your mind, as it does mine, that that's what they do when I go out the room? Of course they do, because that's what the source of, they're showing you what they're like. And therefore, you know these are not the sorts of people to be friends with. They gossip about each other, they stab each other in the back. When other people go out the room, they gossip. I guarantee they do it when I go out the room. And what do? You put the barriers up. It's a barrier to friendship. Do not gossip, do not deride or look down on people, because the cost, well, it's bad anyway, it's bad in and of itself, but the cost of it will be your friendships. You will have tons of acquaintances and no real friends. Or the friends that you'll have will be those who are happy with that type of behavior. And you don't want those sorts of friends. They're not going to sharpen you. So one and second barrier to to friendship is bad attitudes. Thirdly, C, ungraciousness. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for a friend. The point in that proverb is that you could even, if you're gracious and pure, even the king could be your friend. That's not, now of course it's not saying let's try and have the king for our friend. What it's telling you is that graciousness and purity of heart are the route to friendship, such that you could even be friends with a king. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Many curry favor of a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. It's actually tremendous. If people are ungracious, like they're quick to point out your faults and slow to forgive them, when you go out with them, they're always the one who expects you to pay. Okay? They're not generous in any way. Or the first proverb, the speech is gracious. They lack the ability to have winsome and gracious speech. They're just always hard and brittle. That is tremendously difficult to make friends in that context. It really is. That might be one of the reasons some of us are struggling with friendship, because our speech is always ungracious, we're never willing to forgive, and we always expect other people to carry the costs. Ungraciousness can be a barrier to friendship. And finally, point D, lack of boundaries. Lack of boundaries. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Now, what's going on there? I used to think, when we go down and sing carols at 7:30 in the morning at Leeds Station, that's madness, we're disobeying this proverb. But actually, having studied the proverb, it isn't really saying that, because as I've said at the beginning, the proverbs are poetry, they're designed to make you think. Then this proverb is not speaking about one specific idea, that early in the morning you speak loudly and that will be taken as a curse, and that's the only thing that proverb means. So long as I never get up early and speak loudly, I've obeyed that proverb. No, that's ridiculous. What is really going on? Loud speaking, early morning, blessing. So my voice is loud, the time is eager, but I'm trying to bless. I'm trying to bless with a loud voice at a really eager time. What it actually is saying is, it's just giving you a hint. If you are over eager with people, they will think of it as a curse. And I've been on the receiving end of that sometimes. People, they want to bless you. I really want to bless you! I really want to bless you! And I'm just going to come and do it now! Let me tell you, that's received as a curse. It's worth thinking about. How can I let people have a bit of space and work out how to really bless them? How can I give people room and work out how to really bless them? Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house too much of you and he will hate you. Boundaries. I look back with absolute horror at some of the things I did in my younger years, overstaying my welcome so desperately. I used to stay at people who had young children, and I'd have dinner around their house and we'd be there till the early hours. Then I had kids myself, I was like, what was I doing? No wonder they didn't want us back. The point is, if we have no boundaries, people will keep you at a distance. That's what will happen, and you will never make friends. In fact, it may be that you're pursuing the wrong people. You're overlooking certain people who would be really good friends with you because you're trying to kind of go over there to someone over there who isn't really the right person for you. And there, everything you're trying is being received as a curse because it's just overeager. There's no respect for boundaries. We have to respect people's boundaries. Otherwise, they'll just keep us at arm's length. And lack of boundaries is a huge barrier to friendship. Okay, so the barriers to friendship. Family ties, again, we're going to come on to talk about the family. I'm not undermining the family unit. But what I'm saying is you've got to get the right perspective on the family, and it can become a barrier to your friendship forming. Bad attitudes in my own myself, being ungracious, and then finally having a lack of boundaries. These will be ways that stop you forming friends. They will stop your acquaintances moving into your friends. You will have lots of acquaintances, but very few deep friendships. So how can we be a good friend? I need to motor on a bit here. How can we be a good friend to each other, to those who are our friends? The first thing is dependability. Now, as I've already included the Proverbs, I've just mentioned them again, but 17 verse 17, was included earlier on, I believe, or maybe I've made a mistake there. As iron sharpens iron, 17:17. Barriers to forming friends. Oh yeah, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then 1824, I have the same problem trying to find that one too, won't I now? A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I won't read the last one, but the point is dependability. A friend sticks closer than a brother. A friend loves at all times. You know, I'm so thankful that I've had friends who, in difficult times, have been an unbelievable source of help. You know, we've got a group of friends that we go and see once a month, and we always have since we were in university. And we were going through a real difficult patch a few years ago. And they saw that, and they said, just me and Helen, and they said, sit here and we'll pray for you. And all of them just gathered around, laid hands on us. And it was just such a powerful moment of support from friends. Or another two different friends when I was going through another time of difficulty, they traveled a long way to come and see me. And so they knew the difficulty I was in, and they came and they said, let me give you some encouragement here. They were dependable. That's what made them good friends. Am I dependable in return when my friends are going through difficulties? Can I be relied on? That's what makes good friendship, being reliable and consistent. Being always there for your friends. Now, you can't do that with your acquaintances. It's not possible to do this with acquaintances. We'll always have loads of acquaintances. And that's why we must be cautious in working out who are our friends. Those are the people that you have to be dependable for always through their difficulties. That's what it means to be a good friend. Secondly, honesty. Now, here is a big one. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Oh man, do some deep thinking about that proverb. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. In other words, you are leading to his destruction. Did you know that wounding someone, pulling out a knife and driving it into you, can be a mark of friendship? And kisses, the work of an enemy. A friend, a true friend who is honest, a friend will hit you in the face and defend you behind your back. An enemy will stab you in the back and praise you to your face. I'm going to say it again. A friend will hit you in the face and defend you behind your back. An enemy will stab you in the back, but he will praise you to your face. Listen, if we're going to sharpen each other, we're going to need to be honest with each other. We're going to need to be able to say. I was listening to one preacher, and he said, he was talking about the same thing. And he said, I was on a golf course with my friend, and eventually we got to midway through the round, and he said, can I speak to you about something? Okay, speak to me about something. And his friend said to him, you know, when you're with your wife in a room, you dominate the conversation. She gets to say nothing because you dominate the conversation. But when you're not there, people love to speak to her and hear her opinion. You need to stop smothering her. He said, I was like, ah, it was like a dagger in the heart. But listen, if we can't be honest with our friends, we're not actually helping them. If we flatter people, we're spreading a net for their feet. In other words, they're not growing. Their character is not forming. Their character is not developing. And that means that one day the day will come when they have not got the resources to cope with the reality of life. And the net will spread around them and they'll be trapped. It is our job as friends to help each other grow. Help each other's characters to develop so that we can meet the reality of life. Now, this is hard. I struggle with this massively. I'm the world's greatest flatterer. I'm terrible at praising to the face and stabbing behind the back. But I need to say to myself, Tom, that is the work of an enemy. The work of a friend is to speak truth in love. That's what it means to be a friend. It doesn't mean just having a great time and drinking beer all the time. That's the world's understanding of friendship. You know, my friends are those people I just slum out with. No, my friends are those I'm trying to help and develop, who are developing, helping me. And then finally, as I conclude, consideration. That's the final way we're being a good friend. We're being considerate and thoughtful and careful. That's what it means. It doesn't, you know, of course, if you're going to be a good friend, it doesn't mean you pull the knife out all the time. Like, oh, being a good friend is being honest, so I'm just going to hit you with some honesty all the time. No, we have to be considerate. It's one of the most important things we can have is a friend. And the most important things we can be is a friend. And we don't handle that badly. We handle it with care and consideration. Of course, there's a bad time to challenge people, and there's a good time. There's a good time to be around someone's house, and there's a bad time. There's a good time to bless someone, and there's a bad time to bless them. There's a time when they'll receive it as a curse, when my advice will not be listened to. And so I must be considerate and careful and prayerful about my friendships if I want to be a good friend. So let me conclude now and finish with a prayer. We've seen why we should be good friends, why we should want good friends, what a friend is. We've seen the barriers to forming friendship, and we've looked at what it means to be a good friend. So let me pray for us. Father, we just pray and ask that your Spirit would guide us this week, that we might be good friends to those who are our friends, and that you would give us grace to make good friends. Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.